Morning to you all. I want to go back with another subject in slaying the giant of. It's one I ticked off the list very early on and it never came up. But there was another one on the list which was discouragement, and Pastor Danny dealt with that before Christmas. So whether you remember that far back, 6 months or not, I don't know. But what I wanted to do this morning is look at the subject of apathy. And you may think that's a bit odd, but the definition of apathy is a lack of feeling of emotion or impassiveness or a lack of interest or concern, indifference. And it says in the dictionary, that these all denote a lack of responsiveness to something that might normally excite or interest or emotion, or suggest a puzzling or deplorable inertness or lack of passion. The reason I've chosen this subject is that after 25 years period of stability here, followed by a pandemic that has reduced our congregation and hasn't recovered, there can be a fear of what is required of us to look to the future and seek for God's plan and implement it. The future of the work here may cause some to lack emotion and passion and excitement where God would expect it to exist. Now, in Revelation, God wrote to seven churches, and one of the churches he didn't have much good to say about it. And that was the church at Laodicea, which we find in Revelation 3:14. But there's an interesting verse here that's used for evangelistic purposes, but out of context of what it appears in here. In verse 14 it says, "To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other, but because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich. That's not in human wealth, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover up your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door of the knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." The famous verse I was referring to is verse 20. Jesus, here I am standing at the door and knock. Now, many times it's been used in evangelism for people who don't trust and believe in God, that he's knocking on heart's door and it's for you to open it. But here's in respect of the church. The church had virtually cut Jesus out of it in their activities. And he said, you open the door and I will come and hear my voice, and I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. There's a chance for this church to get back online by opening their hearts to Jesus and being corrected. In this passage, God points out their apathy out of self-satisfaction, believing in their riches and self-sufficiency and not needing God. Riches may not be a reason for apathy amongst us here, a lack of faith or a sense of doing what is what we've always done because we are comfortable with the status quo. To God, that is lukewarmness. where he just wants to spit us out of his mouth. God expects us to be victorious in our spiritual battles through faith in him. As a church, there's been 25 years of ministry and leadership where, in a sense, it's been easy to turn up and listen and enjoy being ministered to. But we are in a period where, in the minds of some, there may be a sense of uncertainty and almost a desire to keep our heads down until the sense of certainty is restored. A reason why God has placed us into congregations is for those enthusiastically working towards God's future is that are there to encourage those who are fearful and not sure. As I say, God wrote to 7 churches in Revelation, and he only had praise for 1 church, Ephesus. All the other 6, he listed the shortfalls and what they needed to do to turn around. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, it says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just in fact, as you are doing." Some may be overwhelmed what they believe the future holds, but consider how God used Gideon, who was overwhelmed by God with a small army of 300 with trumpets and torches to defeat a vast army. God did this to demonstrate it is him that's doing the work and not human strength, because that would be impossible. So we look for God to do the work to demonstrate it's his plan in action. It's not just what we've dreamed up. And in Deuteronomy 3:28, it tells us, "But commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead his people across and will cause them to inherit the land that you will see." At this stage of God's dealing with us, we may need to be encouraged and strengthened as we possibly face an uncertain time ahead, partially because our faith is being tested, and it may continue to be tested until we see for certain where God is leading us. It would also be good to encourage and strengthen Pastor Danny and his family, as he will lead us, like Joshua, into the future God has planned for his church here. He needs us to know that we are supporting him in his new ministry. Be mindful of the fact that Satan has every intention of trying to undermine our faith and the work here by placing doubts in our mind, thereby creating maybe a sense of apathy or indifference, where positivity and enthusiasm should exist. Satan would rejoice if this change brought a lack of enthusiasm among us and a more challenging task for Pastor Danny as he begins God's work amongst us. Satan never stops his work. He's always trying to undermine the work of God. In Acts 4:36, we're told that Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. We trust that we have in our midst those who are known for encouraging everybody, because there will always be those in the congregation that need the encouragement. In Romans 12, from verse 6, entitled "Humble Service in the Body of Christ," we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. As a body of believers, each of us has God's given gift to use within the fellowship to build everyone up in order to encourage and strengthen everyone for the work that is ahead. God has granted us a new pastor to continue the work that God has sustained here for over 80 years. And we believe God is going to continue to sustain us for the time ahead for preaching the gospel and discipling. In my time here, I've experienced times when maintaining the work has been difficult and arduous and almost impossible. But God has sustained the work for his glory. At these times, if it were just a worldly club, it might well have just shut for good and gone off into oblivion. But this is God's work, and we are privileged to work in it, and it is God's strength, not ours, that will see it succeed to his glory. Since we lost Keith, and with Susan's dwindling help, our Sunday evening service and Thursday Bible study and prayer meeting that were poorly attended then ceased. That was even before COVID-19 came along. Then the Tuesday coffee, prayer and chat and Bible study stopped because of COVID. And the Sunday school also closed because of COVID, but also because teachers other than myself have not returned. The elders, a member of the congregation, did not want to come out after dark or had moved further away, and the younger members didn't attend. Finally, after COVID-19, only the Sunday morning services were resumed. If the church is going to prosper under Pastor Danny, there must be an enthusiasm for such meetings to return, to be available for all believers and those from outside to come in as well. The loss of the Sunday school meant that we've lost contact with all our young people over the last 2 years. Normally, a prospective pastor would look at the full range of meetings, serving all the groups, both Christians and unbelievers, and the community at large, in order to assess where the work currently stands. But we could only offer a Sunday morning service with a minimal, reduced congregation that hasn't grown since COVID receded, as a sample of Weybridge Church life today. It must have appeared a daunting task to entertain being a pastor to a church that was barely ticking over, going through the motions, unable to operate a full range of meetings to present an exuberant and lively fellowship. And yet God slowly introduced Danny to the fellowship over more than a year. So Danny has had a chance to see us, meet us, see the potential as in God's eyes of what he can do here. And we likewise have been able to assess him and know of his capabilities. So he, over that year, has had a burden and a desire to be our pastor, and we've had a burden for him to come and be our pastor. So God's been working over a year. Now we look forward to his inauguration, but this is not an opportunity to relax, thinking he'll do all the work, we can just turn up and listen. Unfortunately, that's been the case in many churches. When I first came, it was a London City Mission Hall, and the London City missionaries and their families were expected to do all the work. They turned up on a Sunday morning, and before every meeting they set everything up, they sorted everything out, sorted all the chairs out, and they after every meeting they would tidy up after everyone's gone, lock up and go home. It was arduous work, but it's not meant to be like that. The church is full of people who are meant to do all the work, not just leave it to, in those days, the London City Mission. But we look forward to his inauguration, but this is not an opportunity, as I say, to sit and do nothing, because we've learnt from Ephesians 4 that pastors prepare the congregation for the works of service, so that together the church is resurrected to the full life of service. We should be delighted to work alongside him to bring back the vibrancy of the Spirit. At this point, I want to remind you of the targets and objectives of being a charity that we signed up to. We can't sign up to being a charity just because it's a whim. There are certain things that we had to state as our objectives, and these are written in our church constitution, they're written in the church handbook, and they're part of the annual report that the trustees have to sign when we submit our accounts and report to the Charity Commission every year. And it says this: the charity, which is a church, is governed by a constitution and is constituted as a charitable incorporated organisation, or the commonly known as a CIO. The charity's principal objects, as set out in the governing documents, are to advance the Christian faith primarily but not exclusively within Raynham, Essex, and the surrounding neighbourhood, so that's worldwide as well. To put into practice the Christian faith, including but not limited to the prevention and relief of need, hardship and sickness, the advancement of education, and the provision of facilities in the interests of social welfare for recreation and or other leisure time occupation of individuals with the object of improving their conditions of life. Now, it's been accepted by the Charity Commission that because of COVID-19, these couldn't necessarily take place. Then a summary of the church's main activities and achievements. Further to the above objects and vision, the charity's main activities and achievements during the period when it was operational as a trust were as follows: to hold regular meetings for the furtherance of the Christian faith and the community of believers who worship at Wybridge, to allow other associations to use the building for the benefit of local people, to use digital media and our website to spread our work not only locally but worldwide, and to provide details of other Christian organisations for the benefit of others. Again, not all of this could be done while COVID was around. But we do give you an opportunity to know about Mill Grove, to know about Stand By Me, to know about other Christian organisations that we've long supported as a church. With the pandemic shrinking, it is anticipated that, as a charity, our objects and aims should be resumed as much as possible, as this will need to be reported in our 2022 accounts to demonstrate that we're functioning in fulfilling the purpose of us being a charity. In a sense, if we didn't do anything and told the charity that, they could chuck us out. But, you know, those are the aims, those are the targets. And we know there will be testing times ahead, but in James 1, in the passage headed Trials and Temptations, in verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. We must brace ourselves for the pure joy as we persevere through our trials to see God's power at work in and through us. We should be emboldened like the apostles were on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came, as Lucas spoke to us about last week. In our last church members' meeting, which took place on the 26th of January 2020, just before COVID shut down, when we were shut till August, there were 27 people present. And it says this took place after 4 months after Keith's death, an attempt to pick up the pieces and move the work on. And it says, open in prayer, and then P. Barker introduction to explain why this meeting is needed. We had the situation where only a few people were trying to do everything. Many desired avenues of service were not happening. Number one on the agenda, church set up and clear, rota. And people responded to that, saying that they would take on in a rota to open up the church on a Sunday morning and set it all up. Alas, that hasn't happened. The second one, computer and projector set up, a rota. Well, we have a rota of one. And when he's away next week, we'll have a rota of none. So that's what we sought to set up then. Number three was ushers. We felt we should have someone greeting people at the door. Now, due to COVID, it wasn't really possible. You can't be a couple of meters away and say, welcome, but I can't shake your hands or do anything like that. So that fell by the wayside. The rota exists, but the people that are on it from that meeting don't. Then junior church teachers and helpers. there were people volunteering there. That hasn't taken place. Website development and uploading. That down to our one-man band. Facebook recording quality. We do actually have a church Facebook account. It was set up by Nate years ago. But he was the only administrator, so we don't know what to do with it. But people have put things on there from time to time. Then the hymn machine, training and operation. Again, there were people interested in doing that that haven't returned to us to do it. And at that point, I said, if we can achieve these elements, then we want to go on to occasional special meetings for growth. They haven't happened. Youth meetings. We haven't had youth, so that hasn't happened. And looking to search for and invite a new pastor. Well, that has happened. And then a preaching rota. We have a preaching rota of sorts because we have a very, very limited supply. But you know, we have a pastor coming, and that's good. And timekeeping. Now, this was an issue back then because very often the whole congregation wasn't here till quarter of 20 past. And, you know, by the time we sung all the choruses that many enjoy, the people who like singing them then turned up. And that's still to me a problem, because we have on all our promotional literature that we start at 11. And we seldom do. And, you know, it would be good to be able to get back to saying, well, we start at 11. You know, you go to some dues that say 6:45 for 7 o'clock. Perhaps we ought to have church at 10:45 for 11. And then by 11 we might have the congregation. You know, when we're small, it's difficult to do a lot of singing with a mini choir. And so it would be nice if we can restore our timekeeping. We know that in many situations like trains, buses, aeroplanes, if you don't get there on time, you miss it. And with planes, it can be very expensive to miss it. Sad to say, the minutes record many people committing to be involved in the work that have not returned since COVID, or even during COVID. The pandemic, from a worldly point of view, has had a devastating effect on this church. But you know, Danny never preached before COVID, so he's not aware of what it was like before, and he's not aware of what was in those minutes. He's not here this morning. If he listens to this, he'll finally find out what the last church meeting spoke about and what never happened. So he's never preached here before COVID to be aware of any decline. Unfortunately, churches have often been likened to a football match where 22 people do all the work and thousands turn up for the entertainment. That's not how a church should be. Or they compare it to a hotel where hard-working staff are there meeting all the needs of the residents and guests and doing all the work. Ephesians 4 tells us that this should not be the case. Every element of the body has to be involved in order to avoid disability. Now, over the years, I've known Christians who've gone to large churches, and their reason for that is no one misses them when they're not there. They're not a vital part of the church. And in a sense, they're saying, well, that body's got so many arms and legs and things that, you know, one or two missing because they don't turn up at church doesn't disable the work of the church. But in small organisations, small churches, missing people do have an impact. So we know when they're not here. We know what we can't, what they would do if they were here, but they can't because they're not. Apathy is not a word that we will find in the Bible. But it can be the state of mind that can develop when all seems lost or overwhelming. Remember, we learnt not so long ago about Peter walking on the water. He said, "Jesus, if it's you, bid me to come." So Jesus said, "Come." And he got out and he was fine while he concentrated on Jesus. Suddenly the overwhelming waves and the wind got to him, and he lost that confidence. And the shortest prayer in the Bible was said by him, "Save me." And Jesus didn't say, "Well, you know, if you cheer up a bit, I might." He saved him straight away. So, you know, we have a church here where each part of the body is should be functioning as it ought. We should be fully equipped for every good work. We look forward to a church anniversary and inauguration ceremony on the 16th of July, and trust that those who have been missing from our congregation and committed themselves to serving in the last church members' meeting will reappear and reassert their allegiance to the work here and strengthen us as once we were strong, and help us to restore the work. But this morning, I don't want to end on a dull note. I want to end on telling you to be encouraged. We almost weren't seeking for a pastor when he was here all the time. We would have had a dilemma if we had to seek anyone else, because we didn't really know anyone else and we didn't have anyone to speak with a view. They wouldn't have known anything about the church. We couldn't have put before them all the meetings that were going on because there was only one. But God has his way of dealing with things, and we were infiltrated by our pastor without knowing it. And the benefit of that was when we asked the congregation whether to have Danny as a pastor or not, every single vote was yes. And we should be encouraged by that. You know, God has spoken. He's not going to let us down. He's not going to let us be discouraged or despondent. He's firing us up for the future, and the inauguration service, we trust, will just be like lighting the blue touch paper. We couldn't get out of the way. Boom, off we go. So we'll leave that there today, and we've got Henrietta next week.